الذي لا إله سواه، والحمد لله حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه، والحمد لله الذي اصطفى قلوب عباده الصالحين لمشاهدة أنواره، والحمد لله الذي أكرم قلوب عباده الذاكرين بمعيته وقربه، وأصلي وأسلم على سيد المرسلين محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله الطيبين وصحابته الصالحين الغر الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، اللهم اكتبنا منهم، آمين. تزكية is very important for all of us, for as we were saying before the break, for that other elements of ilm, of knowledge that is generated by tazkiyah inside of the qalb. We seek external ilm, and we must, through external senses, through observing them with our eyes, hearing them with our ears, tasting, touching, and so on. And then we go through analytical processes in our minds in order to acquire some knowledge, which is called ilmun kasbi, earned knowledge, knowledge through learning and through working and through studying. And there is that ilm which is spoken about in the Quran and in the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in the words of the Sahaba and of the Tabi'un and of the Ulama rahimahumullah ta'ala, that ilm that is ilhami, that ilm that is ilhami, or sometimes called ladunni, that ilm that is basically an inspiration, an infusion from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into the qalb of the abd, and one would look at it, as some ulama had put it rahimahumullah ta'ala, when the mir'ah, when the mirror of the qalb cleanses and is polished and is cleared and becomes a very perfect reflector, then the ilm that is hidden from the senses will be reflected in that qalb of that individual by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the level when the abd reaches qurb min Allah azza wa jal, nearness, ultimate nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is when the abd reaches the state of wilaya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is when the qalb is rejoicing in the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The qalb has arrived to its destination in this dunya before the qalb and the body altogether arrive in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in akhirah. Now that ilm ladunni, that ilm ilhami, does not come by schooling, does not come by reading books, does not come by memorizing ilm, does not come by the ability, intellectual ability of the individual, does not come because one has an IQ of 4.0, if there is such a thing. That ilm comes by amal and ikhlas. That ilm comes by amal and ikhlas, by acting in accordance to the external ilm that one acquired through learning, by actualizing the ilm that one has learned by schooling, the ilm of the Qur'an, and that is in the Qur'an and in the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ilm of al-ahkam al-shar'iyya, the ilm of the shar'i rulings and verdicts and laws pertaining to all different aspects of life. كما قال أهل المعرفة رحمهم الله تعالى, as the men and women of ma'rifah, those awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and recognized to be so unanimously, like Sheikh Abdul Qadir and others, rahimahumullah ta'ala, and before them, of course, as-sahabatu al-muqarrabun radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, wa la'immatu al-tabi'un al-salihun radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, wa arda'hum, that by the amal, as we practice, as part of that tazkiyah, as we act upon that which is external of ahkam in details, in every aspect of it, in every aspect of it, the murid, if there is that irada, will have to do this. If there is no such a thing, then there is no beginning, and the beginning is itself deviant. The beginning has started somewhere else, wrong, and it will lead to some results that can be, wal-iyad billah, even shaytani. The beginning is right here. The one who has not anchored himself or herself in the external ahkam of sharia will never attain internal vision of the qalb. It will have vision of shayateen, not vision of the anwar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as those who are granted that by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have incessantly taught and reminded us the likes again of Al-Junaid and the likes of As-Sari Saqati, one of the teachers of Imam Al-Junaid, and the likes of later Al-Imam Abdul Qadir rahimahullah ta'ala jami'an. The extent of our laxity or indifference to al-ahkam al-shar'iyyah, to ihkam al-ahkam al-shar'iyyah, the extent of our indifference to holding firm to the ahkam, to the rulings of external sharia, the extent of our indifference to that will determine the extent of our distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will determine the extent of our inability and impossibility of having that spring of ilm burst inside of our qulub by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لذلك قالوا من زين ظاهره بالمجاهدة حسن الله باطنه بالمشاهدة. من زين ظاهره بالمجاهدة حسن الله باطنه بالمشاهدة. The one who has beautified his external conduct and life by mujahada, meaning in this case the struggle to live by the external dictates and teachings of the shara'. The one who has done that will be granted beauty. حَسَّنَ اللَّهُ بَاطِنَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will beautify his or her batin, that is his or her inner sanctum, his or her qalb, his or her sir, with mushahada. Mushahada is the ultimate experience of the qalb in vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's illuminations and anwar and sifat and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is made contingent upon what? The external ilm. That the external ilm, and to struggle to actualize that external ilm, and to go through the sabr and the pain of doing that. And sometimes the pain in this case is not physical, the pain is boredom. The pain is boredom. The pain is laziness. The pain is missing what others are doing in compliance of the lower nafs that are very dangerously attractive, or sometimes legitimately attractive. The pain of simply applying the shara of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one's life, and what it brings of challenges. No, I don't want to do this. I can't do this anymore. That's exactly, in the world of the physical world, that's physical pain. In the world of the nafs, in the world of the qalb, that's part of the pain. And the hurdles that come, and the emotional hurdles that come emotionally, sometimes as one feels, I don't want to do this, I can't do this, this is too much, I'm going to collapse, and all of those things. If one goes beyond that, in his or her actualization of the external laws of shara, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gradually will embellish his or her qalb with that nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ultimately the mushahada for some elect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, tazkiyah in this case, by acting in accordance to the external teachings of shara', which will generate indeed challenges not only to the beginner, but to the teachers and teachers of teachers, each one at their levels in terms of what they have to show forbearance towards, what they have to show sabr towards. And they are like, you know, as a Shaykhuna Hafizahullah teaches also, the shovels, this, you know, when you have a ground and you shovel it and you want to reach you know, the bottom of a well, so you have rocks. You have rocks on top of that ground. You have terrible types of plants and vegetation and thorns. You have rocks that are hard to penetrate. So you take the shovels and work it out, and work out and work hard, until you continue, and until finally you reach softer ground. And then after that you keep on digging, and maybe after that you reach harder ground. And then you keep on digging and clearing, until one day you hit and a spring of water gushes out. Clear water. The mujahada, the shovels of mujahada. The shovels of the mujahada. Sabr. And ikhlas in particular. And the shovels of mahabba and of irada that you have. Those you clear the ground of your qalb with. You begin to clear the ground of your qalb until one day the spring bursts from within. And that is ilham, ilmun ilhami. Then the one that abd subhanallah, some ibad reach that level, then that abd, that abd's qalb become a direct connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That abd does not do anything, does not say anything, except by command within. This leads me to warn myself and you with something, but at the same time it leads me and you, inshallah, to have an aspiration, and that is the following. Many times you say, well, should I do this thing or should I not do it? And then we are told, well ask your qalb. The famous hadith, of course, صحيح استفتي قلبك وإن أفتك وأفتو. First of all, this he said to a specific companion. Is this hadith, I know the rule of العبرة بعموم اللفظ ليس بخصوص السبب, there is a rule of fiqh that says that when there is a text which has a general import for a specific event, that we are to take the general import of the text, not the specific event or reason that led to that text. So in other words, does this imply that all qulub, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says istafti qalbak wa in aftawk wa aftawk, that all the qulub are to be are to be listened to in terms of what we should do? Of course not. Did he mean that to that specific Sahabi? Possibly. Sometimes there are instances in which texts are khas, are specific. But however, that khususiyah has a generality. That specificity has some generality. And that generality of that specificity is what? Is ishtiraku illati dhalika al-hukm. That the Sahabi to whom Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that had a qalb that was a qalb of a companion and of a special companion, a qalb that was shoveled. A qalb that was shoveled, the qalb of a mu'min ala al-haqiqa, haqiqat iman. A qalb indeed that was in touch with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is related somehow, imma related that Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, ra'aytu rabbi bi qalbi. I saw my Lord with my heart. And one was asked, have you seen your Lord? He replied, how could I worship someone I haven't seen? Meaning, my qalb. The presence of the qalb with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The presence of the qalb with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when someone says, istafti qalbak, and say, she says, or he says, or we say, my qalb says so. What? Your qalb? My qalb? Look at me. Is my qalb mahjoob? Or makshufun anna? Is my qalb veiled or unveiled? Let's look at me, what I do. Do I lie? Do I cheat? Do I backbite? Do I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sometimes in major issues? Do I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala many times in minor issues without tawbah? And then I say, ma qalb. You find a fasiq sometimes, an obvious, even public fasiq, or a kafir, or munafiq say, it's in my heart. I know it's true. I know it's true. My heart tells me so. And to some, we say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches, His Rasul teaches, but ya akhi, my heart feels uncomfortable with that. That heart is a nafs. That heart is a nafs. That heart is a nafs. Istafti qalbaka wa in aftawka wa aftawk. First of all, it is about issues in which there are different opinions, different fatawi of the ulama. Number one. Number two, the qalb of a mu'min that distinguishes by a lot of mujahada, the shovels have been used for a long time, so that the qalb has been cleared mostly, if not fully. Then one of them said, إِذَا عَصَيْتُ قَلْبِي عَصَيْتُ رَبِّي. If I disobey my heart, I disobey my Lord. That stage has been reached. Was qalb Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like that or not? Subhanallah. Sayyidu al-awliya. سلطان سلطان الأولياء سيد الأنبياء سيد المرسلين سيد الملهمين سيد المتوسمين سيد العابدين صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم. Then did we have people like that? Like the Sahaba or not? We did. Abu Bakr was like that. We have many instances about that in his life. Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه, about whom Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if there were to be a Nabi after me, it would be Umar. إِنَّ لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ مُحَدَّثٌ وَمُحَدَّثُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ عُمَر رضي الله تعالى عنه, كما جاء في معنى الحديث, that every ummah has a muhaddath, literally someone who is spoken to. That is through his qalb. And the muhaddath of this ummah is Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه وأرضاه. And it is well established that some صالحون رضي الله تعالى عنهم وأرضاهم had their qulub so illuminated, subhanAllah, they could be some of the most unknown people, but who have lived like that example we began with last night. That young slave that we began with last night. And their qulub would be in this exalted state of being fully in touch with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is that ilm of ilham from within. Al-Junayd rahimahullah ta'ala used to have, it is related, many scholars relate that, one of his companions, one of his ashab, and a companion meaning a student, because you learn ilm, you're not a student, we say sahib, because you learn through not only receiving, but through observing the behavior of the teacher, and being with the teacher, that's why you're his sahib, and you watch them, and that's how they received their knowledge. Rahimahullah ta'ala wa rahimana, insha'Allah ta'ala bi barakatihi. So he had a sahib, a young one, who it reached al-Imam al-Junayd annahu kana yatakallamu an al-khawatir aw ala al-khawatir. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him inner ilham in his qalb, and he could, and this is a companion of al-Junayd, it was not just anyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that ilm, that inner ilm of knowing what you harbor of feelings and thoughts in your qalb. So al-Junayd heard that, he was told about that. And then one day he was with him and he told him, I hear this, that you do this and that. He said, Naam ya Sayyidi. And he said to his Shaykh, harbor something in your heart. Harbor something in your heart. So Imam al-Junayd did. And then that man, he said, Ya Sayyidi, this is what it was. Imam al-Junayd, he said, don't remember what the exact word is, which would imply, of course Imam Junaid wouldn't lie, rahimahullah ta'ala, but the way he said it implied, you missed. And he said, do that again. And Imam al-Junayd harbored something else. And the sahib said, this is, ya Sayyidi, what was in your qalb. And Imam al-Junayd again, in his reply, implied, you missed. And a third time, again. And after the third time, a fourth time, again. And then finally, the sahib said, ya Sayyidi, you are sadiq. You are a truthful man. وَأَنَا أَعْلَمُ بِقَلْبِي. And I know better my qalb. I don't understand this. Then the Imam al-Junayd said, in all the four cases you were right. I did that to test the consistency of that claim. I did that to test the consistency of that claim. Not once, occasionally. Each four times he was right. Well, Imam al-Junayd has examples of that himself, inshaAllah ta'ala. I reserve a session for after Isha or after Asr in which I shall share with you some of that gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of ilham, which is called sometimes firasa, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon some of his ibad. And that cannot be attained without mujahadatu nafs, without tazkiyah. صح أيضا عن بعض أهل العلم رحمه الله تعالى أنهم قالوا من اجتهد من اجتهد في باطنه ورثه الله سبحانه وتعالى الهداية إليه في ظاهره ومن اشتغل ومن أحسن معاملته في ظاهره رزق حسن معاملته في باطنه. Which means the one who, now this is the opposite. Remember the previous ones we spoke of? من اجتهد في ظاهره. Remember the previous one? What was the previous one did I mention? Was it, which one did I
mention?
أيوة. من زين ظاهره بالمجاهدة حسن الله باطنه بالمشاهدة. This one, من اجتهد في باطنه ورثه الله الهداية إليه في ظاهره ومن أحسن معاملته في ظاهره حسن الله معاملته في باطنه. أيوة. Which means من اجتهد في باطنه, the one now who struggles and exerts himself or herself inwardly. ورثه الله الهداية إليه في ظاهره. Allah will grant him, will make him heir of hidayah to him subhanahu wa ta'ala in his external life. Some of you might have read many ayat, maybe you didn't, we didn't notice that this is what some of those imply, such as وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. This is both ways. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا, internally and externally. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا, externally and internally. Those who struggle and exert themselves in our way, and this exertion could be either internal exertion or external exertion. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. We shall verily guide them and clear for them the way to us. The internal way and the external way as well. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says also, وَمَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ. Subhanallah. وَمَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ. And the one who has iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will clear the way in front of his or her قلب. يرى الحق حقا ويرى الباطل باطلا. يرى بنور ذلك الإيمان من الله سبحانه وتعالى. That person will begin to see with his قلب the way in front of him or her, external and internal. أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ كَمَنْ مَثَلْهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِّنْهَا. Is the one who was dead and we resuscitated him or her, gave them life again and made for them a nur, a light with which they walk amongst man, amongst human beings, that light with which they discern their path amongst human beings internally as well as externally. The text here, من اجتهد في باطنه ورثه الله الهداية إليه في ظاهره. Now which is actually the fundamental one. The one who's in inner being, whose internal state, whose qalb has been shoveled with mujahada, اجتهد في ذلك. Then Allah Azza wa Jal will also guide him or her to that which is clear and right in their external life as well. خير. ورثه الله الهداية إليه في ظاهره ومن أحسن معاملته في ظاهره حسنت معاملته في باطنه. Are you following? ومن حسن معاملته في ظاهره, and the one who beautified his or her معاملة with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who beautified his or her conduct, his or her relationship externally with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, حسنت معاملته في باطنه. Aha. This has two possibilities, and both of them we have to accept, because the general wording implies both of these. حسنت معاملته في باطنه, أي حسنت معاملة ذلك الإنسان لله في باطنه. والمعنى الآخر, حسنت معاملة ذلك الإنسان من الله لباطنه. That one sentence implies both of those two terms, or those two meanings. حسنت معاملته في باطنه. In other words, that this person's conduct and comportment, inner comportment with Allah, will also be beautified. But it also means that the inner person's comportment will be beautified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you see the difference between the two? As a result of also external, in this case, external beautiful conduct with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ حَسُنَتْ مُعَامَلَتُهُ فِي ظَاهِرِهِ حَسُنَتْ مُعَامَلَتُهُ فِي بَاطِنِهِ. And the one whose mu'amala, whose conduct has been beautified in his or her external matters, will have his or her internal matters beautified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or it means his or her internal matters in his comportment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also be beautiful. من صبر على ألم المجاهدة. سبحان الله, there is an ألم المجاهد. من صبر على ألم المجاهد. We have not said yet anything about the details of that mujahid except for few spices here and there. من صبر على ألم المجاهدة فتح الله عليه أبواب رؤية المنة. فتح الله عليه أبواب رؤية المنة وملأ قلبه حلاوة العبادة. وملأ قلبه حلاوة العبادة وسهل ما كان عليه عسيرا. وسهل ما كان عليه عسيرا. Which means the individual in this path of tazkiyah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who bears patience and persists in perseverance and endurance and in forbearance and persists in sabr in the face of the pain of mujahada. Is the pain of mujahada physical? Rarely. The pain of mujahada is psychological, it's emotional. Again, some examples of which I mentioned earlier. The boredom, the distraction, the intense attraction to something else away from that. The intense attraction, very real, isn't it? The intense attraction towards something. That's in the spiritual realm, that's the pain. It's pain. Intense attraction to other than that. The fear sometimes, the unwarranted, the unbalanced fear for life. for wealth, for family, for honor, for property, for authority, for earnings, for belongings. That's pain to face. من صبر على ألمي ألمي المجاهدة. One who shows sabr, and sabr is bitter. Sabr is bitter. Sabr is very, very bitter. Oh, some of us, we just talk about sabr. Some of us, we just talk about sabr. Just talk about sabr. And even sometimes when we experience certain things, we think we have reached sabr. We have reached haqiqat al-sabr. When it is actually, as we realize later, if we continue in that path, oh, that was just the taste of it, the beginning of it. And we shall talk more about that, inshallah ta'ala. The alam of sabr. Sabr is bitter. Sabr is bitter. Man sabara ala alami al-mujahada. Let's keep in mind there is alam, there is pain in that mujahada. And the pain is not physical. It's intellectual, emotional. And pertains to many, many aspects of our lives. من صبر على ألم المجاهدة. Parting away with something we held so for so long to be important and dear. Parting away from the attractions of the lower nafs, some of which are legitimate, because in this path of a true murid, not only have we to part with those things that are prohibited and those things that are makruh, but those who want that ultimate end have to part with many things that are halal. Many things that are halal. No gain, no pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. That's a rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a rule in the physical world, and it's a rule in the spiritual world as well. مَنْ صَبَرَ عَلَىٰ أَلَمِ الْمُجَاهَدَةِ عَلَىٰ أَلَمِ الْمُجَاهَدَةِ الْجُوعِ after that. السَّهَرِ الصمت مداومة الذكر الخلوة or صبر also in the face of these things, face of hunger by choice, not simply by necessity, in the face of sleeplessness by choice, not necessity. Sabr in the face of quietness by choice, not by necessity. Sabr in the face of dawamu dhikrillahi azza wa jal. Continuity and insistence upon the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By choice, not by necessity. Sabr sometimes in retreat, in khalwa. And so on. There is pain in that. The pain is not like the pain of a wound that is physical. I think if we sit and reflect about it, you will know some of that. We will know some of that. مَنْ صَبَرَ عَلَىٰ أَلَمِ الْمُجَاهَدَةِ فَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ أَبْوَابَ رُؤْيَةِ الْمِنَّةِ عجيب. This is a gift. And what is this gift? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall open for that abd the gates to the vision of the minnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him or her. And many of us, it will stop here. Even it's not even here. Are you tired? Are you tired? Are you? Okay, if you're tired, I'm going to stop. Actually, we're going to stop soon. SubhanAllah. The gates are open to what? This is the gift. This is the gift. To seeing that every ni'mah that you have, that everything that you have, that everything that there is a minna from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though you may be in, I don't want to say distress. The mu'min should never be in distress. I want to say anxiety. The mu'min, especially haqiqatul iman, the one who reached haqiqatul iman, can never be in anxiety or agony or depression. But even in the state of challenge and in a state of difficulty and hardship, you, and in a state of ni'mah, of bounty and of grace and of wellness and of goodness, you can see only the minnah of Allah Azza wa Jal. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and the world so much. And that the only relationship between you and Him is that He deserves only thankfulness and thankfulness and thankfulness. You see His minnah in everything that happens to you, good or otherwise, or around you, good or otherwise. You begin to see that with your qalb. That's a gift from Allah Azza wa Jalla. But when we see the events of the world around us and in us, and we see them as burdens upon us, and we see them as calamities destructive upon us, we have yet to discover the minnah, and we have yet to see with our qulub the minnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The gift of the mujahada, one of the gifts, the windows into your qalb open, by which and from which you see the minnah of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Because that abd should be between ru'yat uyub al-nafs aw al-dhanb wa ru'yat minnati al-haqq subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that such abd will live oscillating, meaning living between, in the realm of, in the field of, being conscious of his or her deficiencies and uyub and faults, sees them with his qalb, ala al-haqiqa, is conscious now, knows his nafs or her nafs with its deficiencies, and sees the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore there is only minna of Allah Azza wa Jal, and there is only uyub from his person or her person. That's the ultimate gift, subhanAllah, gift from Allah Azza wa Jal. And sometimes we think, when we're not aware of these things, we take them as burdens. As I discover, for example, the faults of my nafs, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants khair for some abd and wants to exalt some abd, He makes him or her cognizant of his or her dhul of the nafs, makes exposed to him or her the humiliation and the lowliness and the debasement of his or her nafs. As one becomes conscious of that and alert of that and consciously of that, that's a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And simultaneously becomes conscious and alert of, and with his or her qalb, in the vision of the minnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The minnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, namely that everything that, I repeat, that happens to me or around me, as I said, good or bad or otherwise, I see in that only good. And that Allah deserves upon me and upon all His creatures that He be revered for all of those. وَلَهُ الْمِنَّةُ عَلَيَّ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. If He subhanahu wa ta'ala enumerates and enlists His grace and His ni'am upon me, He is deserving of that. That's يَمُنُّ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And secondly, what was it? أي وملأ قلبه حلاوة العبادة. صبر 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 in mujahada will lead to the next thing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill up his qalb or her qalb with sweetness of ibadah, with the sweetness of ibadah, that when he or she enters ibadah, salah in particular, dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sadaqah, sawm, all the ibadah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, that the abd finds sweetness and delight in that. Come, let's go out. No, I can't. Go out where? Go out where? Away from this. Where away from this? Let's go eat in this place. I am eating. Let's have this drink. I am drinking. Let's have a good time. I am having a good time. Let's talk. I am talking. Do you know what I mean? The abd finds rejoice in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's say some of those people who have had that experience, رحمهم الله تعالى, من الصالحين الأوابين الأواهين. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us of their what He gave them, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's Kareem Wadood. That one day a companion of his came to him and then he came to visit him from some other place. And then he tells him, what brought you? He said, Alhamdulillah, ji'tu li'anasa bi-sahbatik. I came in order to find solace and comfort in your company. And of course, this was a person almost of his caliber. So, لِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ مَقَالٍ, of course. To every station there is a discourse. At that level, he replied to him, because he was almost of his caliber. He said, I didn't know that some abd could find solace away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are coming to find solace with me? And you're leaving and you have not found it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Go away. Go away. لذلك قالوا, at their level, من علامة الإفلاس الاستئناس بالناس. Of the indicator, of the sign of bankruptcy, to feel solace and intimacy with people. Meaning what? Bankruptcy in terms of Allah's presence in our qulub, bankrupt. There is no wealth inside that qalb, and it cannot be alone. When the qalb finds that solace with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing else makes it up. And therefore the halawa of ibadah, and therefore the sweetness of ibadah. And that is as a result of long, sometimes very long, mujahada. Those who started that mujahada with irada, those who started that tazkiyah with irada, they know what comes at the end of it. They may reach it before they die, or if they don't, inshallah, after they die. That's the course. Some have reached it. The here dimensional expression of it. They have attained it in this dunya. Halawat. Halawat thalik al-iman. Halawat al-ibada. And thus, they have devoted once they had in their route, in their road, began to experience some of that, they have devoted the rest of their lives to that. Some have said, Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir, rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the great tabi'i scholars, who was, by the way, the son of a mawla, was the son of a slave. His father al-Munkadir became, mashallah, close to being wali of awliya Allah Azza wa Jal, and he became a great tabi'i scholar and wali of awliya Allah Azza wa Jal. He said, subhanallah, كَابَدْتُ نَفْسِي أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامَتْ. كَابَدْتُ نَفْسِي أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامَتْ. I have battled my nafs for 40 years. Then استقامت. Then istiqamat. It has attained istiqama, and istiqama is the state in which the attributes and the sifat of the individual have all been balanced. Ka badtu. نفسي أربعين سنة ثم استقامت. And that istiqama is when the inner characteristics of the abd have attained balance. The presence and absence of wealth doesn't make a difference. Poverty or richness doesn't make a difference at all. Blame or praise from the world doesn't make a difference at all. Winter or summer doesn't make a difference at all. Balance, istiqama. And that is a level that seekers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to attain. وَمَلَأَ قَلْبَهُ حَلَاوَةَ الْعِبَادَةِ. And then وَسَهَلَ مَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ عَسِيرًا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ease and facilitate that which before was to him or her difficult. مُدَلَّلَ الْآنِ. الآن أصبح مدللا مع ربه سبحانه وتعالى. This now has become this beloved abd who is pampered, if you will, by Allah سبحانه وتعالى. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. إن قلت صوابا فمن الله وحده، وإن قلت غير ذلك فمن جهلي ومن نفسي ومن الشيطان. أعوذ بالله أن أذكر به وأنساه. Had I said anything correct and proper, it is from Allah's rahmah and grace and gift. Anything other than that, it is my own nafs, the impact of shaitan upon me and my ignorance. I seek refuge in Allah that I remind you of Him and yet myself forget Him. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.